Week. Was it full? Bless the Lord. There are times when our weeks become very, very full. You know, there are times when we're sapped of our strength from time to time. This past week on Tuesday, I was asked to work 13 hours at Kohl's. And then on Thursday, I was asked to work 13 and a half hours at Kohl's. So this week I have over 56 hours in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because, you know, I love it when the Lord allows me to kind of stretch myself. Because, you know, as we walk in the calling in our lives, whatever it is, he makes provision. And it's a blessing when we come to the end of ourselves in our physical strength or our intellect or our emotions. And when we give all those things to the Lord, he renews us. So I'm giving testimony today that the Lord has renewed my strength for today. And on Sunday, I go right back to it again at Kohl's. And it's probably going to be another week, 45 to 50 hours plus. But you know, the Lord, he gives us that provision. Any trial, any tribulation, he does not allow any temptation to come near us unless he's already given us provision prior to it. That's why I really appreciate Martin's Torah reading today, that in the midst of that man's prayer, that servant, the Lord began to answer him. And you know, we have to go with that same expectation with the Lord. Is there times, you know, when you're just beside yourself because you're just totally worn out and you're fully stretched? And that's when we truly are able to die to our emotions, to our feelings, to our circumstances. And you know what? We get a brand new attitude. But there has to be a release. As we release these things unto the Lord, he is faithful, he is just. You know, and it's a time of rejoicing every time that we're stretched in the Lord. So, Father, we just want to give you glory and honor and praise for the provision that you've given to each one of us this past week. All of us had to have a different provision. And you made it precise. You orchestrated our days. And so, Father, we rejoice in that no matter what we face in our life, you are there and you're providing for us. To your name be all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. So now to the preaching of God's word. Father, we now ask that your spirit, who is the Ruach, would descend upon your people even more now, that we'd focus on your word and what is of man would be laid aside, because you use people, both men and women, to proclaim the good news. But Father, we pray that the Spirit of the living God would bring out the meat to give us strength, that we will be able to walk in God's provision, for not just for today, but for all eternity. To your name be all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Yeshua's Revelation on Taxes. Okay? A few months ago, we dealt with the temple tax, right? But today we're going to be dealing with government taxes. Now, so if you turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 15. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 15. Or in the complete Jewish Bible, it has a heading, Matthiahu, which is his Hebrew name. So let us begin, Matthew 22, 15. Then the Perishim, which are the Pharisees, went away and put together a plan to trap Yeshua, who is Jesus, with his own words. Have you ever had a friend that done that? They're listening to every word that you say, and they just want to entrap you. And it can be like a game, right? How many times have we promised our parents as being children to do certain things, and they're not to follow through? And our parents trained us that we are to honor our words, our promises. Just like we expected our parents, the best to their ability, because they failed often, to fulfill the promises of their words. So let us continue here. They sent him some of their Talmudim, who are their disciples, and some members of Herod's party. There's a change going on right now. Because you know what? Herod's party, his group, were very, very secular Jewish people. Their whole lives were based on politics because from what they could get from the reigning government. And to have the most ultra-religious people to come together with the most political people in the community, they were often at odds with one another. So this in itself is a miracle, where their two opposing sides are coming together. But notice who they're coming against. The God of the ages, who is Yeshua. So let us continue here. And some of Herod's party, they said, "Rabbi, we know that you tell the truth and really teach what God's way is." Flattery. Many times people try to entrap us by using flattery. Continuing here. "You're not concerned with what other people think about you, since you pay no attention to a person's status." What were the Purim, the Pharisees, all about? Their status in the community. How righteous they were before the people. How about Herod's party? They were the political. What they can gain some people's votes on issues. They were the ruling class, the wealthy class of that society. And you know what? They were the type of people that you would see only like once every 4 years, and they would be there to win you over. That's what's going on here. And so what I'm trying to do is take this message that's over 2,000 years old and make it more applicable to today. Because we've just gone through an election, right? America voted, a candidate won, and that person is now serving. But there are families that are divided over who was elected. And it's sad to see. In the past, in America, when people would vote, they would simply vote. And you know what? The outcome? There would be a short time of disagreement. But you know what? We'd roll up our sleeves and we'd come together as a nation. This time, it's the complete opposite. People are still fighting, right? And that did not just start with this administration. The last two, let me say three or four administrations prior to this administration, you could see the birthings of that disunity in the community. All right? So now going back to the scripture. Because there are times, you know, when these stories are very, very old, and it seems like, how does it apply to me today? All right? What I'm facing, okay? So let us continue here. "You aren't concerned with the other people, what other people think about you, since you pay no attention to a person's status." Verse 17. So tell us your opinion. What did Yeshua say in just the prior beginning part of the chapter? He was asking the religious leaders, the head kohenim, the elders and the Purim, their opinion. And he was able to entrap them to reveal the truth of what was hidden in their hearts. Okay? And so now in reverse order, the head kohenim and the elders and the Purim, the Pharisees, and also Herod's party, the political wing of the community, they believe by bringing in the second class followers, who are the disciples, that Yeshua would not be expecting to be entrapped on anything. All right? This is what's truly going on here. So let us continue here. Verse 17. So tell us your opinion. Does Torah permit paying taxes to the emperor or not? All right? Now that might on the surface seem like a very, very innocent question, okay? We can ask that today. Does the Torah ask us, permit us to pay our taxes to the United States government? Or for those of you who are hearing this podcast throughout the world, from the nation that you currently reside. And you know what? There may be a government that's been put in place that you don't agree with, all right? And it causes and infringes upon you as being a believer. I'm going to leave that there, okay? Because these are things that we're dealing with, right? Right now. So let us go on. Verse 18, Yeshua, however, knew their malicious intent. Notice, he's able to read their minds, all right? He's not just a human being, just a local rabbi who's gathering a following, but he is God who's manifested in human flesh, representative of Abba, Father God. So this is what's going on here. Yeshua, however, knowing their malicious intent, said, "You hypocrites, you actors, you pretenders, why are you trying to trap me?" Notice, this is an individual who has all knowledge. He had created each and every one of those people who were there standing before them. He was the one who formed and shaped them in their mother's womb. He knew about the day of their birth, for he has all knowledge, all understanding. So let us continue here. Verse 19, show me a coin used to pay the tax. So they brought him a denarius. And Yeshua asked them, whose name and picture are these? The emperor's, they replied. Yeshua said to them, new. Okay, that's in the complete Jewish translation, Jewish Bible. And I'll get into what that word new means. It's a Yiddish term, and I'll get into that a little bit later. New, give, it's spelled N-U. Give the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to Abba, Father God, what belongs to Abba, Father God. On hearing this, they were amazed, and they left him, and they went their way. Anytime when you're preparing for a Bible study, I encourage everyone to do this. Sometimes there's cross-references. Follow the cross-references. When I did, as I was preparing this message, there are cross-references here. You know what? This story is one of few stories that are often repeated in three other good news writings. Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. The next day, some of the Pharisees and some of the members of Herod's party went to Yeshua in order to trap Yeshua with a she'ilah. And I'll get into that Jewish term in a little bit here, okay? They came and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you tell the truth and are not concerned about what people think about you, since you pay no attention to a person's status, but really teach God's way and how to walk therein. Does the Torah say that taxes are to be paid to the Roman emperor or not? But Yeshua, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why are you trying to trap me? Bring me a denarius so I can look at it. They brought him one, and Yeshua asked them, whose name and picture are these? The emperor's, they replied. Yeshua said, give to the emperor that which belongs to the emperor, and give to Abba, Father God, which belongs to Abba, Father God. And they were amazed at Yeshua. Now the Spirit of the living God, he decided that he would also anoint and appoint Luke to also record this story, because it's of great significance. Because you know what you and I deal with every day? What part of my life belongs to God, and what part of my life belongs to the government? And how can I be a good citizen of both the kingdom of Abba, Father God, and at the same time be a good citizen of the nation that God has ordained for me to live in, and which government that has authority over my personal life? See, that's the dilemma here. So let's look now at Luke 20, verses 20 through 26. So they, who are they? The head kohanim, the elders in Perushim, kept a close watch on the situation. What is the situation? Yeshua is teaching in the temple courts, all right? And he made them be silent, okay? And so now there appears to be a change in the guard in the people's hearts who are meeting in the temple courts, okay? Both the political party and religious party that were ruling in Israel were made silent. So their very lives and their homes and their future now are laying in the balance. So that is why they are sending out spies. So they sent spies who hypocritically represented themselves as righteous, actors, pretenders, so that they might seize hold of something Yeshua said as an excuse to hand Yeshua over to the jurisdiction and authority of the governor. See, Matthew and Mark didn't give us all those details. But Luke is writing to whom? He's writing mainly to the nations. And things that did not need to be mentioned in Matthew, because it's like you're having a family conversation around Thanksgiving table, right? You mention one topic and then everyone knows what you're talking about, right? But Luke was addressing the people who were outside the Messianic and Jewish community. So they needed more insight. They needed things to be defined more clear so that they could follow and understand. So let's now go to verse 21. They put Yeshua this she'ilah, a question. Rabbi, we know that you speak and you teach straightforwardly and show no partiality, but really you're teaching God's way. Does the Torah permit us to pay taxes to the Roman emperor or not? But Yeshua, spotting their craftiness, said to them, show me a denarius. Whose name and picture does it have? The emperor's, they replied. Then Yeshua said to them, give the emperor which belongs to the emperor, and give to Abba Father God which belongs to Abba Father God. You may be asking, Rabbi, why are you repeating this story time and time again? I'm not. The Spirit of living God has written it for every believer to have from the time that these words were written down to this day and beyond. It is of great importance. And anytime you see something repeated three times in Scripture, we need to take note of it and to have the proper application to our hearts, minds, and souls, that we may delight in the Lord and serve him all the days in purity and in holiness. So continuing here. Then Yeshua asks them, give the emperor what belongs to the emperor and give to Abba Father God what belongs to Abba Father God. They were unable to trap him, who is Yeshua, by anything that Yeshua said publicly. Indeed, amazed at Yeshua's answer, they fell silent. See, now we got the insights. We got the private information that would be shared around the Thanksgiving table on a particular topic, okay? Now we're able to proceed now with now the division that you and I make a choice daily. What belongs to Abba, Father God, that we may walk before him pure in purity and holiness, and what belongs to the government? And I, as a witness to those who are serving both in government and my neighbors, how should a messianic believer conduct him or herself? All right? So there's some commentary here that Dr. David Stern gave on verses Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 and 16. He gives us a little bit more background. He says the Purishim, who are the Pharisees, wanted the Jewish theocracy restored, as what was said earlier today in that Martin shared about what? David, and he talked a little bit about Miriam and Joseph. See, Joseph was a stepfather, all right? When a child is born, whose blood does it carry but the father's? When Yeshua was born, he did not carry Joseph's blood, all right? He carried what? The Ruach's blood. Because who descended upon Miriam and spread himself over her but the Spirit of the living God? And she became what? She became pregnant. That is a holy and sanctified thing. It's only happened once and it shall never happen again. All right? And so the lineage here, the theocracy, the Pharisees were desiring for the representative King David to be placed upon the throne in Israel again. And that way the Romans would leave, the oppressors would leave. All right? How many people here would love to see the theocracy of Israel restored? I would, because you know what that means? That the Messiah, Yeshua, is coming back to sit upon his throne again. And that's why the Jewish people throughout the world look for whom to come back, but the Mashiach. The Orthodox Jews who still stay in America, they say, Israel does not truly exist until the Messiah comes back. For some of the ultra, ultra Orthodox, okay? And for some of you who are hearing this for the very first time, it's like, that doesn't make any sense. But that's what's going on. That's their reality. Unless the descendant of King David is sitting upon his throne in Israel, Israel truly does not exist in the ultra, ultra Orthodox minds. Okay? So we're giving you a little bit of information here that would be shared around a Thanksgiving table. And I know I kind of spread on that a little bit here, of an ultra, ultra Orthodox Jewish family. They're waiting for the Mashiach, the Messiah to come. All right? So continuing here. The Purim, the Pharisees, wanted the Jewish theocracy restored and oppose the oppressor Rome and its taxes. See, to them, that very act of paying your taxes was condoning and agreeing with your oppressors. You were to oppose them at all costs. Now let us go to Herod's party, the political party. They were not religious, and they supported the Herodian dynasty. Remember, in the very beginning of Matthew, who's sitting on the throne in Israel? It's not a descendant of King David, but is Herod. And why does Yeshua, in his mother's womb, Miriam, travel from up the north in Nazareth, and they travel down to Bethlehem, the house of bread, Bethlehem, because of what? The one time when they were called down, where they were to register for paying the taxes. You don't think that this was dealing with Yeshua's life even before he was born? It was going on, all right? So this is this question Yeshua is just hitting directly at home, because that's why he was born. The scripture said he'd be born in Bethlehem, but it says what? The governor called Quirinius, and I would say his name wrong, Quirinius. He said this, that you must go to the place of your family's lineage, that town, to register and pay the tax. To whom? To Rome, okay? So that's what's going on. And sometimes we in Western society, we miss that. We know it, but we miss it. We don't connect the dots. And so that's what we're doing today. We're connecting the dots. So this Herod's political party, not a religious, they supported the Herodian dynasty set up by Rome, all right? And encouraged abiding by the Roman tax laws. Why? Because they were skimming off the top, okay? They were not usually friendly with the Pharisees. Why? Because they believed in totally different things. It's like two political parties here. The Pharisees are waiting for the Messiah, but he's standing before them, but they don't even recognize him, all right? Okay? And Herod's party, the Jewish people that were there, part of the Sanhedrin, the secular Jews, they were supporting their Herodian dynasty. All right? See how could these two groups come together? But they found a common enemy that was what? Displacing their power and authority and status. Now the words of these Talmudim, don't they sound a little bit more clear? When they come up to Yeshua and they say, we notice that you do not look at anyone according to their status. The words are even more in their deception. So continuing here, the trap consisted in putting together an alliance of convenience in which both would ask Yeshua's opinion. Today we're dealing with the Pharisees' question. Next Shabbat we'll be dealing with Herod's party, the Sadducees. They were hoping that his response would annihilate him for one group or another, okay? They wanted to put Yeshua in a place of a rock and a hard place, all right? Okay, now in verse 21, the word new, which is N-U. That is an all-purpose Yiddish word. New is often used with this meaning, but with the inflection, can't you figure it out for yourself, all right? That's giving you a little bit of the Yiddish culture and the Hebrew mindset of Yeshua's statement of "and you knew." Okay? This thus conveying the tone of Yeshua's answer. Like, he asks them the question, "Haven't you ever read the Torah?" to the head kohenim and the elders. He's telling them, "You've received revelation up to a point, but here, let me enlighten you on even greater revelation." That's what Yeshua is doing here. Continuing here, the word she'ilah, which is spelled S-H, apostrophe E-I-L-A-H, is simply a question about Torah or halakha, usually posed to someone expected to be able to give an authoritative answer. Okay? So they're saying to Yeshua, okay, you put the head kohenim, you made him silent. You made the elders of Israel silent. You made our Pharisees, our rabbis, our chief rabbis silent. So what is your opinion now on this topic? All right? So continue here. The tax to Caesar was an annual head tax of every subject of Rome. It was a tax of all men and women, men starting at the age of 14, and women at the age of 12. And this lasted up to the age of 65, which in that day, if you lived to 65, that was a very, very old person. Because the mortality life of people that time was between 30 to 40 years. Because you know what? They did very hard physical labor. And if you even notice any people that you came from 100, 200 years ago, the common people, the men, would die at a very early age, right? And so a lot of the women, okay? Because of childbirth and all these other things, all right? Not saying that they're not centurions that lived, all right? But it was commonplace that someone would die prior to the age of 65. You know what? In the service of a Levite in the temple, in the Mishkan, it was only up to age 50. Why? Because what? Your body and your mind would start to decay greatly, okay? So let's continue here. The rate of a denarius, of one denarius year was one day's wages for common labor. So that's a lot of money, all right? So continuing here. Common enemies, Herod's party and the Pharisees, they came together, two opposing groups. For the Herodians were the Jews who were comfortably collaborating with the Roman Empire through the power of politics. And I shared this earlier, Yeshua's own birthplace was affected by both the taxes and the registration of his stepfather Joseph and Mary Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. So this is a debate that's over 2,000 years old. And this message will be done in two parts. And it continues today. Abba Father God tells us in his word that the government is his. Any government that the Lord allows to be set up, it's for his will and his plan. And there have been some governments that have been set up that are just horrendous. But you know what? He allows them to be set up that his will and his plan may be formulated and be completed. And that, as a believer, as a young believer Messiah, it just seemed like, God, don't you know what that man or woman's going to do? And how many lives are going to be lost because of that individual? But the Lord does not allow someone to receive the scepter and to rule over a nation or a people group unless he ordains it to be. So continuing here, Abba Father God's desires is for us to be good citizens of the country that we reside in. Many spiritual leaders impress on us the need to serve Abba Father God first and that we should obey Abba Father God rather than man. They often suggest that being a true believer is at odds with being a good citizen of the state. And there are times in our life when the state infringes upon what belongs to the Lord. So continuing here. So how do we divide this up? How do we act it out that has been the focus of controversy ever since? Yeshua gives us his guidance that we must follow his advice and read the good news. We've taken it now from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That we may properly deal with the reoccurring issue of Abba, Father God, and the government in which we live in. Citizenship in the kingdom of Abba, Father God, and at the same time, citizenship in this world. Doesn't it appear then that we have one foot in one world and another foot in another? And if we're really honest, we have wrestled with this. I have, from the time I became a believer up to this moment. I have to ask the Spirit of living God what things I need to be involved in that are building God's kingdom, and what things do I need to be involved in as a light to the nations and to my neighbors as being a true believer in Messiah. And it appears at times there's juggling going on. But I tell you this, the Spirit of the living God who leads us in all, to all truth will lead us along this path. The Lord has not, he's called us out of this world, but he wants us to be a light to the world. And there are many times we as believers think, well, one political party is more righteous than the other. But you know what I've learned through the years? People who have opposing views that I have, God has laid and called certain individuals to be there as light in that political party and to stand up in the midst of thousands and give the mind of God on a particular issue. They are champions that are calling people back to God. And that's why I say this to you. One political party is not greater than the other. And for some of you may be saying, well, that I disagree with that statement. There are certain tendencies that political parties go through, all right? But what changes it is that when believers shift into that party and they let their light shine and they're there to stand, to convince those who are walking in darkness to come over to God's light in all these things. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and stop this first part of this message. Amen.